Podcast, your guide towards becoming a better musician. In this episode, we will be covering the compositional process, what you need to do in order to bring that piece of music that's inside of you out and into the world. We'll discuss how to still your mind, how to build a world of cool, how to write, and, dude, where's my band? By the end of this lesson, you might not know all the particulars behind music history or music theory, but you should have an idea of how the creative process in music works and what you need to do to share that amazing song inside of you. Before putting pen to paper or finger to instrument, however, you must first still your mind. The first step in the creative process is to get your mind into the right place. For some people, that means a quiet walk in the woods. And for others, it involves throwing yourself off a bridge with a thin but springy rope attached to your ankles. You are probably somewhere in between. Whatever you do, do not worry about if you can or cannot play an instrument. Many famous groups, like the Rolling Stones, started their career without knowing much about playing musical instruments. In fact, the whole punk movement of the 1970s was predicated on the idea that learning to play complex instruments wasn't necessary. Playing an instrument helps, but you can always learn to play as you go, and remember, everyone can see. Also, whatever you do, do not worry about
the grade you will get.
Good grades are nice, but not at the cost of great results. Art and music is about communicating meaning. If the only meaning behind your work is your desire to get an A or to play the system, then your work will mean nothing more to your listener than any letter grade you've gotten in the past. In the future, if you create a masterwork, no one will care what grade you got. Remember Einstein? He got Fs in school, but I think a few of you may have heard of him. Next, don't worry about where to start. If you've got a tune kicking around in your head, then start with the melody. If you love to tap your feet and drum on your desk during boring lectures, then start with the rhythm. If you've just figured out the greatest guitar chord change sequence in the history of music, then start with the harmony. It really doesn't matter. Also, if you don't understand music theory, don't be intimidated. Music theory, or note writing, is a nice skill to have. However, people that can't read or write music wrote some of the most famous songs of all time. This axiom applies to the majority of modern pop stars. Besides, most of you have access to a computer, and there are many programs that can help you properly notate your music so that others can enjoy it as well. Finally, don't worry about how complex your music is. Simple is oftentimes better. Some of the best music written is simple music, so don't be afraid that you might not create something as complex or as good as someone else. Find your voice, say something with meaning, and others will listen. Now that you've stilled your mind, we are going to examine how you begin to gather influences. Art is not created in a vacuum. Music reflects life, and life, in turn, generates music. This means that an awful lot of people have already said an awful lot about life through music in some awfully clever ways. As a beginner, it's your job to seek out and study these great masters and copy them. But wait, did you say copy them? Isn't that cheating? Well, yes and no. If you took the approach of copying the rhythm, melody, and harmony of Paco Bell's canon and passed it off as your own, then that's copying and it's wrong. However, if you take parts of the bass line of Paco Bell's canon and combine it with parts of your own lyrics, and play it with the tempo a bit slower and a few jingly guitars, and you've got most of the modern pop songs that are currently on the radio. Click on the link beside the podcast for a hilarious demonstration of this concept. Combining influences into new art is the name of the game. Art doesn't drop, completely free-formed from the sky. It evolves over time. When one artist combines the coolest parts of two or more artists' work and adds a little of their own spice and flavor, and you have new art. Anyhow, moving on. It's now time to build your
library of cool.
You need to gather and select some influences. How do you do this? Well, first, you need to expose yourself to lots of new influences. As I mentioned before, there have been an awful lot of artists and musicians over the years, and they've done some pretty cool things. Now remember, don't be intimidated. Mozart was once a beginner too. Anyhow, you need to expose yourself to lots of life and art. Go to a museum, listen to a piece of music you've never heard before, go see a play or watch a movie, read a book, or surf the web on a site you've never been on. Let life soak into you and look around with an unflinching gaze. Anything that makes you stop and think, wow, life is cool, is an influence. Building a digital library of cool is easy. You've probably got a cell phone in your pocket, or a laptop, or a digital camera. Any of these devices, if they were made recently, have probably got software and a microphone and probably the ability to record video or take pictures. Use these functions to capture those moments that make you go, wow. Next, use a piece of software on your computer to start building a library of cool. I would recommend programs like Yojimbo, Evernote, or Dropbox to help you stay organized, but they aren't necessary. A simple folder labeled cool stuff will do. After building your library, it's time to start selecting the influences that will figure into your song. You can't use everything, but don't worry. An influence that you don't use now will undoubtedly become handy later. Artists love high and lofty ideals, but they're soon brought back down to earth by practical limiting factors. Practical limiting factors are those bothersome details that limit the type of work you can produce. For example, if I write a cool new song that combines 1950s pop rock with bagpipes, then I'd better have a bagpipe player handy, otherwise my song ain't gonna sound right. So make sure that whatever song you come up with, that you consider the following. First, what instruments do I or my friends play or sing? Think about who could or would work with you, and what they can play or sing. Consider the amount of preparation and practice time that you have.
No ninth symphonies.
When and where are you going to perform your work? Remember, music is about time and place. The right music at the right time in the right place is good music. Think about who your audience is. If you're performing for your parents, you might not want to perform that song about how awesome it was to sneak out of the house last week.
Dude, busted.
However, above all these things, beware. Has it been done before? Some topics, like love, have been done to death. However, there are some interesting aspects of certain topics that are yours and yours alone that other people might find interesting. For example, once I got dumped by a girl on her porch after a particularly bad date. Before she could get through the whole, "It's not you, it's me," speech, her cat promptly coughed up a hairball on the ground next to us. For me, that relationship was a lot like the hairball in many ways. Perhaps a love song with a nice acoustic guitar about a hairball might be interesting. Go for the little details. Now, it's time to write it down. So you've decided to mix alpine yodeling with house music. Good choice. Now it's time to take that masterwork and write it down. At this point, you might be wondering if you need to be able to notate. While notation of some sort should be your final goal, so that other musicians can reproduce your work, it isn't the first step. You may wish to figure out the melody, figure out the rhythm, or figure out the harmony. Most songs have three components: melody, rhythm, and harmony. You need to figure out all three, but not at the same time. Most people start somewhere because they're inspired. So let's say you've got a great tune or melody kicking around in your head. The first thing you might want to do is write down the letter names of the notes that you hum or whistle. Use a piano. Next, you might want to figure out the rhythm by tapping it out or writing it out as a series of slashes that remind you how long each letter of the melody lasts. Finally, you may wish to add a harmony by stacking notes and writing down more letters underneath your new melody. It's not pretty, but this is the beginning of notation. If all of this seems a bit confusing, you can always memorize your song. Learning music through example and memorization of songs is a long tradition. In fact, this was the way that it was done long before notation, and many more people still learn to play music through this rote teaching method than through learning to read and write music. You can benefit from this too. Just make sure that you don't recompose your music each time you play it. A little variation is okay, but you should keep this to a minimum if you ever want others to play with you. Simply play your song for them and have them play it back to you, and voila! You have just taught someone to play your song. Whether you choose to write it down or just play it out, you are eventually going to want to use a computer. Computers are the ultimate tool for communicating to others. Whether you're writing it down or just playing it out, if you want to reach a lot of people with your idea, then nothing is better than the internet. Become familiar with simple recording programs like Audacity or GarageBand. Upload your content to a YouTube channel and off you go. If you find you need to write your music out, choose some notation software like Finale or Sibelius. Free notation software is also available on the web, such as NoteFlight. The advantage of notation software is that it won't let you make common mistakes, and it will play back your music for you as you compose it, so you can compare what you've written down on the page and what's in your head. Finally, we get to, dude, where's my bad? Performance. After notation, or sometimes during it, you need to get ready for performance. Whether that performance is in front of a group of friends, in a recording session, or in front of the whole world via the web, it's time to make sure that you get your group together. If you require more than one musician to play your song, then congratulations, you've made music a collaborative experience, which can be very rewarding and very frustrating. Make sure the people you're working with can do the job you're asking. Make sure they are well motivated. Bribery helps. Sometimes your best friend is not the best option. Choose carefully, because these will be the people that will help showcase all of your hard work. Get your equipment together. You should also be sure that all the equipment you intend to use is working, and working in the way you want. Keep spare cables around, spare picks, or other equipment that can easily fail and jeopardize your entire performance. Test everything twice. If your performance is acoustic, make sure you have extra strings or reeds or anything else that can be easily duplicated to avoid tragedy. Make a schedule and rehearse, rehearse, rehearse. Create a schedule and stick to it. Create goals for each rehearsal so that they don't devolve into jam sessions. Make sure every performer knows his or her place in the song and what's expected of them. If something isn't going right, then speak up in a respectful way. Ask your group members if they hear what you are hearing and suggest a change. Then have the group play through it again and ask everyone if they like the new way. Try to avoid pointing out individuals and blaming them for making the song sound bad. This is a recipe for breaking up the band. Accept input from everyone and at least try suggestions out, even if you don't think it's the right way to go. Most people just want to know that they are being heard. Don't think of yourself as the leader just because you wrote the song. Once you ask others to participate in it, it becomes their song too. Part of creation is letting go. Next, you're going to want to check your performance area and do a rehearsal there. This is often an overlooked but critical step. Make sure that you scout out the performance area and rehearse there if possible. You'll be surprised how many things can suddenly go wrong by moving a rehearsal from one place to another. Most of these boo-boos are easily fixed, but not at the last minute. So get to that performance venue early and try out everything. Next, relax and enjoy the performance. It won't be perfect, but that's okay. You've worked really hard. Don't let the process poison your performance. Don't think about how Dave was such a jerk during rehearsals or how Jimmy just couldn't keep that beat right until the dress rehearsal. Let it all go. Think about what it is you want to say to that audience. Not everything will go right. Someone may hit a wrong note, a mic might drop out, or a string might break. Whatever happens, keep going and roll with the punches. Some of the most dynamic performances were a result of things that did not go right. It's okay. Most audiences understand the little things. Be dynamic and have fun. You've earned it. The last step in the compositional process is reflection, which can take many forms. Some people go through a formal process of writing out what went right and what went wrong. Others simply go through a mental process in their head. Whatever process you have, make sure you have one and you stick to it. I would recommend putting some distance, perhaps a day, between yourself and the performance before you do this. Sit down, perhaps with your whole group, and go through the performance in your mind. Now write out, talk about, or just think about what you might do differently next time. Make sure you implement these changes so that next time is better than the last. Congratulations! You've just completed the entire compositional process. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. This is Mr. Werner, and I'm reminding you that music is life. Life is music.